Welcome, everybody. I am here with Dr. Yaffe. I actually just read this book, Conversations with the Earth, and I met Dr. Yaffe at Conscious Life Expo a few weeks ago, and this book title, it stopped me in my tracks, and I talked to her, and I was enthralled. And so I bought the book. It was a pretty quick read, but very, very profound, simple truths in it. She does channel a bunch of different entities. And so I'm super excited to talk to Dr. Yaffe about all of her offerings. Hopefully she can do some channeling for us. Welcome, Dr. Yaffe.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, Ron. Nice to be here with you.
Yes. And so one thing that stuck out that I want to get into really quick, because I'm a fan of this as well. I noticed in your book, you were talking about Seth from the Seth Speaks series. And I've read, like, I would say 10 or more Seth books. And I liked how, and I was inspired because you basically were like, it seemed to me that you had the same thought process that I did. Is like, if Jane is channeling Seth, is it possible if I could do that too? And so what I'd like, the first topic I'd like to start with is, how did you get into channeling?
Yeah, so actually when I was reading Seth, I started with Seth 12 years ago. That's when it came into my life. And it was mind blowing for me. So much so that it never even occurred to me to ask the question, can I do that? So when I started reading that, I called it my spiritual Bible, because there were so many profound truths and understandings in Seth Speaks, and then of course there are much more material, that for me it just served such a huge turning point in terms of expanding my mind and beginning to open to all these really big concepts. So that was Seth for me. So in some way you could say that it started turning me toward channeling, but I wasn't aware of it yet. So channeling, but what it did do, I started meditating daily and developing my intuition and connecting more and more to the psychic realm, which is, I believe, was the pathway towards channeling. And then COVID hit. As we all know, the world changed. The world was upside down. There was also a lot of emptiness, empty time to find new things. And the name Lisa Royal Holt kept on popping up, like within 1 or 2 weeks, different people kept on bringing her up, and her as a channeler and a channeling teacher. And it just came to be that I got into her already fully booked class. And because of that perfect timing in my life and with the universe, I just dove all the way in. And that was my opening into channeling. Now, I actually channeled before, but it was too woo-woo for my left brain scientific mind. So it was too unverifiable, too ungraspable. So although I channeled before, having the structure and the teaching and the guidance of Lisa and the group, and just being able to do it like 100% every day I was in that space, made it a natural progression of my spiritual journey and my life path.
And what method do you use to document the channeling? Are you using a recording? Are you typing it on your computer? How does that work?
Yes, so I do verbal channeling. So I speak my channeling. And indeed, because my channeling career, anyway, started on Zoom, it's all recorded. And we always transcribe the sessions afterwards. So I have both the audio recordings, video recordings, and transcriptions of all the sessions. So we're talking about 3 years of, I don't even know how many hours a week, a lot of material.
3 years of transcripts.
Exactly.
So there's channeling schools that people can go to. Do you teach this to people, or do you recommend others to find to teach people? Because I have also done what I assume is channeling. I pretty much just put myself in. I'm very action oriented, and so I just assumed that instead of verbal, because I don't really hear voices, I was just going to channel the energy into my fingers and just type the words that I did hear words, type the words and images that I was feeling. But I also had no guidance. It was just something I tried doing, and I got some messages. I got a few pages, but there's actually teachers you can seek out to teach channeling.
Yes, and the structure is more of a permission slip. So I would say practice, 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 you know? So whether you practice with a group or by yourself, especially if you're typing onto a computer, actually when you talk about verbal channeling or vocal channeling, which there is a difference, I find that being with people, at least one more person, really, really clicks in the dynamic of channeling. For some reason, doing it by myself, and I know I'm not the only channeler that experienced this, versus doing it with somebody else, changes the connection or the flow of information. There's something about having somebody else present.
Mm. Thank you for that information. I'll try. Mm-hmm. I think that
again, it may be different when you're typing, right? Because you're with yourself and with the computer. So it's a different process. It's very possible that writing is a much more intimate internal process. And while expressing it verbally is more of an outward process that requires a recipient.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a fan of channel text. That was for probably 10 years my preferred author. I mean, the Raw books, the Seth books, there's so many that I've read, and the cool thing is that a lot of them are decades old, or even 5 years, 5 to 10 years old, and there's a few that are up to date. And your book just came out. When was it? Last year or a few months ago?
Late last year. Yes.
And so
Audible just this year.
Oh, nice! I love Audible. If I would have known it was Audible,
I would connect you. I will connect you. I will give you.
I like Audible because you listen and read. So I encourage anybody who has this book to also buy the Audible because then you can hear your voice. I'm assuming it's your
voice. Yes.
While you're reading the words, and it's so much more profound when you absorb the information that way.
It's channeled material. So hearing my voice, reading the channeling is as close as you can get to being present while the channeling took place without actually being present.
Mm-hmm. And so are you continuing to write books? Did this work
absolutely
out for you?
Yes. I'm currently working on my second book, which is either going to be Conversations with Hathor or Channeling the Divine Feminine. These are the working titles. Of course, maybe a third one will come up. Conversations with the Earth was not Conversations with the Earth until it was not time to actually print the book. And all of a sudden, the name changed. It's amazing how things happen. But I want to jump back, if you don't mind, and answer your previous question.
Yes, please.
You asked me if I teach channeling, and I wanted to touch that. So what I do teach is light language, and I consider it as channeling 101. So the main difference between verbal channeling and light language is you're still using your voice. You're still learning to enter the channeling state and being a clear vessel. But what you're expressing is not necessarily or not English words or your spoken language. So your left brain, it's easier for your left brain not to be overconsumed with what am I saying? What is the information? So that is why I consider light language as channeling 101, and it's a great stepping stone to any other forms of channeling. So that's what I do. My next cycle actually starts April 4th. So it's in 1 month. And the module, it's such a fun and great class. It's 5 lessons where we meet live on Zoom. And you actually learn we do different breath work and different exercises together. And you learn how to start channeling that flow of energy once you enter it.
And how do people sign up for that?
They can just go to my website, yafichanneling.com. Generally speaking, if you want to sign up for anything, whether it's my weekly Zoom group or the light language or anything else, you just email me or pay and make sure I have your email address so I can send you the proper links. It's pretty simple.
And so there might be people listening to this that are skeptical. And I assume that even you had to question, maybe you didn't, maybe it was a knowing right away. So could you speak a little bit to how you have a knowing that this energy is coming through you and that you're not just making it up?
Yeah, no, trust is a big journey. And I really do think it's a question for everyone. I don't think there is a psychic or a channeler on earth that never had to deal with doubt. Because I think it's a natural part of the human condition. Therefore, it enters the channeling process. And add that, that, like I said, I am like scientifically trained, left brain oriented. So I definitely was not trusting right away. And I think that is one of the reasons why I needed the structure of having a class. And, you know, there is a reason that when you start channeling, when you really just start and you just want to get something out there, the instruction is, well, do it whether you're channeling or pretending to channel. Just so you bypass that initial block of what am I doing? Is it me? Is it something else? So first you have to kind of open the gateways, the floods to just start going. And the trust really comes over time. And, you know, like everything, which is what I found in my life, once you take the leap of faith, a lot of magical things happen and a lot of doors open. But you also have to be grounded, right? You cannot just jump in blindly into anything. So it is a balancing act. You do have to use your discernment. You do have to be grounded. And that was another lesson. I didn't realize how important grounding is in spiritual work. So what do I say to skeptics? I relate. Don't fight your skepticism. Use your sense of discernment. Use your mind in that way. That is why it's given to us in this way. However, if you question and doubt everything and you don't allow any magic in your life, any faith, any opening, your life is going to be very limited and very rigid. But beyond that, it's a personal journey of finding that balance between staying grounded, keeping your discerning mind, but at the same time being open to new experiences, not being self or other penalizing. So different experiences and ideas can come up to the surface, things that maybe you did not expect or think possible.
It's like with the permission allows a new lens of reality or even a new reality itself. And your light language course, you mentioned a stepping stone. What I hear is that it's the training wheels that may eventually lead to channeling as we know it or as you are practicing.
If that's what you want, it can lead to whatever type of channeling that works for you. So if you're an artist, being in that flow state and learning to step out of the way and being a part of that flow is very beneficial. So it can be a stepping stone for that. So channeling can really be anything. So when I'm saying a stepping stone, I mean a stepping stone to whatever, however you want to utilize channeling in your life. It doesn't have to become verbal channeling. Verbal channeling is not the ultimate way of channeling. It's just one form.
Thank you for that clarity. And you actually answered my question because I was going to say, what does the person get out of it? What is the practical usage of learning light language? Is there anything you'd like to elaborate on that question? Like, how does somebody use light language in their everyday life?
So the matter, the topic of being in the flow is extremely significant. And it's a part of the main lessons that I think even humanity is going through right now. But, you know, that's really, really big. So you can bring it down to yourself and to the personal and to the individual. And I can tell you that for me, learning to integrate with the flow of the divine feminine, which is what I channel. So the idea of total trust, of being in that flow, of not trying to control the environment or situations. that has become very significant in my life. And that is all a part of learning that process of channeling. So what you want to learn, if you're a channeler, is to be as clear of a vessel as possible. What does that mean? That means that if you have intense emotions, they can be interfering. If you have a lot of thoughts running around in your mind and negative thoughts, obviously that's going to be interfering. So you want to learn to be as clear as possible and to hold that clarity. Now, you're still a human, so thoughts are still going to enter the game. You still have emotion. Maybe your neck is sore. So whatever, things are still going to come up. So now how do you integrate those things in a way that doesn't interrupt the flow? So when I started channeling, the guides gave me the metaphor of a juggler that I really, really liked. And they said, as a channeler, you're like a juggler. So you have the flow that is coming to you. So that's what we call the channeling, whether you're channeling an extraterrestrial, an earth element, a fairy, whatever. So there's the flow you're channeling. And then there are other flows. There is your flow, your personal thoughts and emotions in your body. There is your environment. So as the juggler, as the inner juggler, it's your job to learn to integrate all these balls, to let them fall and fly through the air as they need, but not to collide with each other. And these balls, again, include you, they include everything, and have them flow smoothly and continue the transmission, continue the performance as a juggler. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's an amazing metaphor for almost everything as well, everything that I could think of. And that has to do with my next question, which is, are you always in alignment with the messages that are coming through?
You know, that's the aspiration. So Edgar Cayce spoke about having a spiritual ideal, and that really, really changed my understanding. It enhanced my perfectionistic dullment. So instead of wanting perfection, wanting excellence. That has been a part of my journey because I'm originally such a perfectionist. And Edgar Cayce, I think, brought clarity into that. So he talked a lot about working with your spiritual ideal. So your ideal is something that is ideal. You can never reach it, but you can aspire to it. You can always move towards it. And I really, really love it. So my ideal includes all the messages that are coming through about being unconditionally loving towards the self and towards others, of being in alignment, of always being 100% present. Am I always 100% present? No, I'm human, but I can aspire to be so. And what does that mean? That means that when I notice that I'm deviating from my ideal, and that notice is that awareness, I can choose then to act towards that ideal, or to align myself with that ideal. So I consider all those channeled messages as a part of the ideal, because they are wonderful to aspire to, but you cannot hold yourself to impossible standards, because then you'll always find yourself failing, which is exactly the opposite of what you want to do. Your ideal is supposed to inspire you.
And just a follow-up to that. So when I read your book, Conversations with the Earth, to me, everything resonates as truth. And I'm wondering if when you're actually channeling, does anything come through where you're in disagreement with? And then there's that struggle, because I've seen other channeled material where it's very apparent that the physical human that's doing the channel is almost in an argument with the more profound, because they're coming from a different perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's almost like a inability to comprehend the message that's coming through. Does that ever happen with you?
Yes, it has happened, but I don't feel like I'm arguing with it. I'm more confused. I accept that that perspective is broader than mine. And also, in that process of being a clear channel, if I notice a confusion, I don't go towards it in the background as I'm channeling. I kind of take a deep breath and release, because I don't want any disagreement or confusion to come in the way. So they may say, oh, Yafi is seeing this or asking us this. So they may note my reaction, but me as Yafi in the background, I try to keep my reaction as diffuse as possible. So it's there sometimes, but I try not to let it interfere. So when I notice it, I immediately just, I don't know, just I don't give it more attention or more focus. So it just becomes a part of the background, a part of the experience.
Yeah, that you're juggling. You're juggling that ball in the background.
It becomes another ball. Yes.
Yes. When you're writing this book, are there favorite, because in this book, there's the water, there's the earth, you're talking to the wind,
mm-hmm.
the moon, the earth, yes. Hathor.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a favorite? Do you have a preference or a favorite? Mm.
Well, some energies are easier for me to relate to. So for example, if you compare the fire and water, that's a perfect example. So as you know, the book opens with fire. That's the first chapter. And I never really, well, it's not true that I never connected to fire. I like having like fire, and playing with the pieces of woods and building fire. That's fun. But that was the extent of me ever connecting with fire or the fire element. So it's actually not something that I felt strong resonant with or that I related to. So I was really, really surprised when that came through. And to my relief, maybe, the person I was with was very connected to the fire element. So she knew exactly what question to ask, and she was all into it. So that moved the conversation and the dynamic forward. But water, on the other hand, that flowy, gentle essence. And also I have learned through this journey that the water and the feminine essence are connected. And I've been channeling Hathor, the divine feminine. So anything that has to do with that flow feels very soft, very familiar to me, very welcoming. So there are definitely essences that are easier for me to relate to and kind of feel into them. Because channeling is a very immersive experience. So it's not only what comes through my voice. I feel like I'm immersed in that energy. So when I channel the Lirans, which were like the lion people, and they were talking about courage. And so my whole beingness was in a different space of like, you know?
Right.
And it's much easier for me to be in the space of gentleness and flow. So there is that. But in terms of the material, I have found that it's all inspiring. Because just like you mentioned, they have such a different perspective. They see things in a so much more broad and expansive way than we do. So I have noticed that it doesn't matter who or what I channel from my experience, from the realms of love and light I work in with and in, that they're all wonderful. But yes, some are much easier for me personally to kind of settle into and to relate to.
Amazing. So before we get into more of these figures, or I should even say collection of entities, because they're not all mm-hmm. on the individual realm.
I think most of them are not, actually.
Right. Because, well, we'll get into that. Before we go in that direction, I wanted to bring us back to light language. Is mm-hmm. this something that you can share some of, or share a lesson? Could we experience something in regards to light language from you?
Yeah, sure. In terms of a lesson, that would be tricky because it would take a while.
Okay.
So in my lessons, not only we have discussions about what light language is and whatever your cerebral mind needs to receive, we also do experiential exercises. So we do different breath works and I guide certain exercise and then we practice together. So it would be tricky to do that in this format, but I can definitely share some light language with you. And I can tell you that in terms of my light language, there are two different sources that are actually merging. So they're not really separate, but you can also separate them. There's Hathor, who does more field tuning. So that's more different sounds and tones. And those are aimed at interacting with your energy field and aligning it and expanding it. And then there is the light language from the goddess Isis. And from my experience, Isis uses this language. It's actual language, it's not tone. And the language is uses light to weave around our spine. It's very interesting. So again, from my personal experience, Isis is very, very connected to energy healing and energy work, and using light language as another aspect of that energy healing. And I would love to share a little transmission with you. So, do you want me to call Isis and we can do some Isis light language?
Yes, please.
All right, so I'm going to ask Isis, maybe she wants to give us a spring blessing. I know it's officially not spring yet, but I feel like the world about a week ago overnight changed into spring. That's how it feels to me. So maybe Isis wants to share a little light blessing with us for the spring. So I'm going to call her. It just takes me a couple of seconds. Okay. So my process, I have an invocation. It's very short that I say inward and I just connect to the flow and it comes through. So it's pretty quick. So I'll be quiet for just a few seconds and then you'll hear Isis.
Great.
Inaria hus anarakaya. Christum mahaya herastum. Huru hunaya hariana hakaristum. Huru naya haraham maya rahana. Huru maya rana harom maya. Ikrana yasturum. Irastumata Iruma Harakiana Rastuma Huriana Ahakarastiana Titruta Ahayak Arania Hurustuma Haraka Iranaya Huruna Rustanaya Hurunaya. They're continuing in the background, but I asked them for it to indeed be in the background so we can continue.
Amazing. Yeah, I see what you mean by the feminine. It feels, you gave me the image of light weaving around the spine, but it definitely felt like that to me, at least.
Mm-hmm. With you, they worked more about the upper.
Oh, that's where I felt it too.
Yes. They took a little moment in maybe the middle. I don't have a good grasp of time, but a little moment to direct the energy to you when it was right around here, your head and around here.
Yeah, in the head.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Exactly. Yeah,
that's what they did. From the thoracic up is where I was feeling it.
Yeah, you got it.
And so what does that feel like to you? What's the takeaway for you?
Yeah, so light language was the latest step for me because it's the most woo-woo and the least verifiable. Although, as you noticed, even now with a small demonstration, they were already parallel in the way I experienced it being sent and the way you experienced it being received, which is all like little points of validation. So light language for me is the total allowance of that transmission to come through in whatever way it wants to come through, again, without judging it, without necessarily even putting a name or a category on it. And a big part of doing it is focusing so much on whatever the transmission itself that I miss some of the experience of having it just because I'm so focused on delivering it. So often I have to stop afterwards if there is a message in it and ask, what was the message? But this time I had some awareness during. So I also have some visuals that are happening as I'm doing it. So when I channel in general, and that's also true for light language, I go inward and then my inner world is very emphasized and I kind of lose touch of the outside world. So I often don't know what my body is doing. It happened that I turn around to the side and have the rest of the session that way, and I had no awareness of it. And then I opened my eyes, and it's so surprising. So I just focus inward, but that really does open my inner landscape. So I have certain visuals that come through. I see energy. So I saw the energy, the way it moved into your head and went around here and a little bit of here. So it comes in different modalities, in different dimensions. But again, it's a little compromise since so much of my focus goes to delivering it and being the transmission. But it feels very flowy, very loving, like you recognize the feminine. There's definitely a feminine essence within it. And it includes both Hathor and Isis.
Well, I want to thank Isis because I did have an intention of up here because I have something going on with the memory. It might be from all the concussions that I experienced playing hockey and fighting as a youth, but that's where I felt it. So appreciate whatever was sent to me. So let's get into your book here. From your perspective, because I know that this is a combination of a lot of the different channelings that you've done over many years. And so there was a curating process, right? There was a selection process that you went through. And so what is your intention of what this book brings to the readers of it?
Yeah, my intention was always the messages themselves, but there is a narrative to the book and it kind of wrote itself, and I was very grateful for that because there's so much material. I knew I had a calling to write and I had no idea where to start. And the idea of focusing on the earth in that way came to me in meditation. So the guides gave me the guidance of the narrative. And once I'm like, oh, okay, so I'll just start with the earth elements, it came together and it made sense. And in fact, it made so much sense in terms of the narrative. First the fire element and then the water came through. And this is in chronological order that it happened. However, there are things that happen in between that are not included, but the book is mostly in chronological order. And it's amazing how the messages naturally, in a way that I could not be aware of as it happened, the messages naturally unfold and build on top of the other and make sense. Now, the main messages in general, and it almost doesn't matter what guide you go through, is the amazing and crazy times we are experiencing right now. Humanity as a whole, and each and every one of us in their personal life as a result. And there are different ways to experience these changes, to react to them, and to deal with them. And again, each one of us it presses different buttons. It raises different conversations and issues and symptoms and things to work on for every one of us. So this book is an attempt to take all these messages that are coming from the guides, all this beautiful wisdom that has been channeled for decades, and make it of the now. So this whole book is not just me channeling. As I mentioned, I'm always with other people. So these are other people that are asking questions based on what they're seeing that is happening right now in their life, in their country, in the world. So it's made to be as practical as possible and also of the now as possible.
Yeah, I found it was incredibly resonant with what I was going through, you know, what I was wondering, what I was doing at whatever day I picked up the book. And I'm sure it's the same with anybody who reads it, because it's almost like we're going to be receiving the information from the lens of our state of being. And so I found it extremely resonant for me. And I'm assuming that it's going to be for anybody else who is going through the process of reading it as well.
Great. Thank you.
And we touched a little bit on this earlier, but I'd like your interpretation of, just to share from your perspective, how it is possible that, let's say, an entity is coming through in one voice, but could be made up of multiple, or even entire civilization, or, you know, an entire galaxy. How is it possible that can be? How would you explain that to somebody on the street if they were asking you about that?
Yeah, so we have to start with the understanding that consciousness is primary. Consciousness is fundamental. So our physical body, our physical experience, is the densest experience that we as beings have. So the transmission is not coming from a physical dense realm that we are here. So it's starting very, very general, very diffuse, very big. Let's take a whole galaxy. So I channel the Andromeda galaxy. It's in the book. So, and I think I've only channeled Andromeda once, but we can still take it as an example. So Andromeda, it's a whole galaxy. So that means it's so vast. It has to start zooming in and becoming more and more specific. So from the whole consciousness of the galaxy, there has to be some intelligence that it's specific enough that it can communicate with a human on some level. And what happens with the channeling transmission, it gets more limited and more specific and more limited and more condensed until it's condensed enough for my higher self to start bringing it in. And then it needs to get even more specific so we can put specific words on it. And then it needs to get even more specific, because only one pathway of words can come through one at a time in our linear experience. So there is a process of making it more specific and more specific and more dense and more specific until it's specific enough that it can come through in words. Now, does it mean that we're losing a lot of substance on the way? Yes, absolutely. So the messages and the ideas are much, much bigger than they end up coming out, because it's coming out based on our current capabilities, both in understanding, but even physically, our ability to hold that energy, information, understanding, all of that.
Yes, it's a very simplified language, is very simple compared to the actual origin of the idea that's coming through. And I feel that that origin, you can taste it through the words. Thank you for that explanation.
Yeah, a good example, you know, if we use a word that we're used to and we know the meaning, let's take the word love. So the word is just one word. We have to get so specific to get to the word love. But the concept of love is so much broader and wider than that. It can include all these emotions in us. It can include concept of people, of pets that we love. It can include maybe a color, maybe like, oh yes, pink rose is my symbol of love, or whatever else love comes with it. Maybe it has painful experiences of the past. And this is all just one word, love. So our words are very, very specific, and they can include very little or very a lot, depending on our own level of understanding and comprehension.
Again, amazing example. Because some of these entities, they're not just made of a collection. So you mentioned the galaxy of Andromeda. So from our human perspective, we're imagining an entire galaxy that there could be humanoids, but we're not even just in that realm, right? We're in the whole galaxy is made up of a lot of things, but also going through time as well. So they aren't necessarily experiencing linear time as we do with the past, present, and future. And
yes, so they're actually absolutely not maybe not, because the transmission is coming not from a physical realm. So it's coming from a realm that it's already beyond time. So whether you are communicating to the moon or to a being on Sirius, which would usually be a collective, but it could be a being, the transmission is not originating in a physical sense. So it's already beyond time.
And again, if you were to explain that to somebody on the street, if they're having trouble grasping the idea of how it's possible to exist in a timeless, maybe timeless isn't the most accurate word, but in a state where you experience all of time, how would you elaborate on that to somebody?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it can be really confusing, right? When they say, oh, there's no time on the other side. What do you mean there's no time? How do you experience anything without time? So the way I understand it is, you can imagine our time space as a bubble, and everything that's going on within that time space is a bubble. I never explained it that way, but that's how I'm seeing it now. And if you leave that bubble, if you leave the physical realm, even if you die and you leave the physical body, right now, then you're outside the bubble. The bubble is physical. That's where we experience linear time. Now, you still have a reference of time when you left the bubble, but now you can go visit yourself as a child. Maybe you want to see what's going to happen to your children in the future. Now you have access to different points in time. That means that relatively, you're no longer experiencing linear time as a spirit. You're still aware of the concept of time. And once you're incarnating in a body again, oh, we're stuck in linear time again, because that's how we're experiencing this physical world. But when you live the physicality, time is not as concrete and set in stone as it is in the physical realm.
Amazing. And so there's people that are Christian and have a strong belief in Jesus and may have a very strong disagreement with a lot of what you're saying. However, with that said, Jesus comes through and speaks to you. Do you ever have conversations with people who are maybe combative with the Jesus?
Very little. Unfortunately, there's very little conversations taking place where the opinions are so far apart. Mm-hmm. So maybe I can have a conversation about Jesus with a Buddhist, but it's going to be a little harder with someone who is a fundamental Christian. Now, I will say there's actually a lot of agreement. So if you really take the words of Jesus, they're actually very similar to other channeled material about the importance of love, of knowing yourself, loving your neighbors, loving the others as much as you love yourself. Giving the other cheek is a form of the ultimate form of nonviolence. So there are a lot of parallels with channeled material and Jesus's words. But it also depends on the level of openness. And even for me, it was difficult to accept that Jesus was coming through me, because, you know, Jesus, it's so specific. We see Jesus as a being, as a man, and it's not that specific. Jesus is a consciousness that it incarnated it came to Earth as that man, but just like we are multidimensionals, so definitely Jesus is multidimensional. So if you don't have that understanding, it's a little difficult to have a conversation, because then you're stuck at the physical level.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because we definitely, as a culture, view Jesus as a man who was born, immaculate conception or not, was born on this realm, had special abilities that influenced the people of his reality, and then he went away. But you did just touch on that there may be more to the story than that. And so if you were to answer the question, who or what is Jesus, what's the answer to that?
Yeah, so for my most current understanding, and let me preface this, that all my understanding comes from my personal experience. So here I really recommend to people, go ahead and find your own personal experience, especially if what I'm saying doesn't resonate as truth or you have an issue with that. Go experience whatever you experience. So I don't do a lot of readings or any readings of other channelers, with the exception of Seth material, which was years ago. So this is my personal experience. From my personal experience and understanding, what was or is unique about Jesus and his spirit, that he comes more directly from the Arcturus realm. So a way of not that he was incarnate on a planet of the star system Arcturus. So if this is source, the first realm after source, and again, that came through the channeling, is the Arcturus realm. I don't know if it's the first, but it's one of the first. So if this is the projection of the source, where the point where all comes from in our existence, Arcturus is one of the first realms. So it's very, very, very close to source, and it's very not dense in a physical way, but on high density level in terms of frequency. So it's very, 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 very close to source, which would lend to the understanding that he is the Son of God, in my opinion, again, and it would also lend to his frequency and his awareness being as expansive and intense as it was while he was incarnate on Earth, and as it is as a being. So because his essence is so expansive, so connected to the true source, we can then understand him as the Son of God. Now, we all came from spiritual dimensions, and we are all children of God, but he had such a close link and such a great awareness that it is more easy, it's easier to notice his godhood and to be influenced by his godhood. And the way I'm understanding it is that nowadays the Christ consciousness is awakening in humanity. So he is coming back, but not necessarily as one person, but as the awakening of humanity as a whole.
Thank you for explaining that. And when you say God, is this source energy, or is this another step in between source energy and Jesus?
I use the word God as source. I actually don't often use the word God, but yes, for me, it's synonymous with source. Some people like saying the universe. You know, words for me are just words, and it comes through a lot in the channeling. Names are just names. They're mainly for us. And a lot of people, a lot of time when people disagree, it's getting stuck in semantics. You know, sometimes people really mean the same thing, but they use different words, and they'll fight to the death about which word is more
literally
accurate. Yes. So yes. Thank you for clarifying. God, source, the universe, source energy, the projection of this hologram, whatever you want to call it, I'm okay with it.
Amazing. So when it comes to channeling, is this something that you can turn on just like you did with the light language?
Yes. So, as I mentioned, I've been practicing meditation for about maybe 12, 13 years daily, and I've been going to the Monroe Institute regularly and engaging in all these connecting exercises, you would say, or practices for so long daily that at this point, connecting is a really fast and easy process to me. So, just like with the light language, I go inward. I said the same invocation. Would you like me to share with you what my invocation is?
Yes, please.
Yeah, and so I say my invocation. Usually it comes with a deep breath, but I don't intentionally take a deep breath. I just turn inwards and my body usually takes a deep breath. And I feel that really friendly, beautiful flow, and it just comes out, just like the light language. It's also a similar source. So here is my invocation. Very short. I play in love and light. I open to Hathor now. And when I do light language, I often mention Isis as well. So that's my only invocation. We can go over the different parts of it, or you can just take it as it is.
Well, the word play is interesting to me.
It is. So remember, I mentioned that a part of my personal journey was to let go of the last bits and pieces of wanting to control whether situations or anything, and being in that flowy, open, trusting state. So the word play to me, because it's very, your invocation is very personal. So for me, the word play is the same as being light, being lightness. So the opposite of severe, the opposite of being too serious, taking yourself too seriously, or the work, right? So I came up with the invocation when I practice channeling. And especially when you practice a new skill, again, the question of trust comes through. There is different frustration, different obstacles that you are to overcome. And it's very easy to get too serious when you practice and practice and practice. And something, you know, being a spiritual channeler or a teacher, people come to you and you do, it's very easy to get caught up in the ego or to develop a sense of overimportance. So for me, the word play, I play, brings me into that light space of not being too serious, too stuck on anything, entering that flow in as open and expansive way as possible. So that's what play means to me. Of course, if somebody is a jokester, is a personality, the word play is probably not going to be right for his or her invocation. They want something that puts themselves in the right state of mind. So for me, I play in love and light. For me, that immediate, and when I say it inside, just like when I say it outside now, it's so automatic, I put myself there. It's not only words. So I play. Okay, we're playing. We're light. We're open. In love and light. Oh, what beautiful realms, realms of love and realms of light. And then I open to the source that I'm channeling. So when I channeled the moon, it was I play in love and light. I open to the moon now. So I open to whatever source I'm channeling.
And you do have a choice then.
I have a choice, but they have a word in it too. An example, a few, maybe a month or two ago, we wanted me and my group, my Sunday channeling group, we wanted me to call. I say we, but I'm the one channeling. They ask questions, but it's our group, our space. It has become so. So we really wanted to call Jesus and see the messages that he has to give us because it's been so long since I channeled Jesus and it's such a beautiful energy. So I called Jesus and along came Mother Mary. So it's a related energy. In fact, it's the feminine counterpart of Jesus, which is something we can get into if you want. But so they had some option too. So I'm not going to call Jesus and something completely unrelated would come through unless there is a very specific reason. It has not happened so far. But it does happen when they make an adjustment that they know I would be okay with. By now, we've been working together for years. Based on the need or based on the specific flow of energy. So there are modifications. So it's both me calling a specific source, but they do have just as much as a say as I do. So I'm allowing, but they're definitely participating.
It sounds to me that you're saying or suggesting that they're sort of always listening. Is that accurate?
Yes and no. So they're always listening, but it doesn't mean that they're listening to me while I'm taking a shower or while I'm having a personal conversation with my husband. The need is consciousness based. So they're always here. That's a really tricky question, because at the beginning, they used to repeat that a lot. We're always with you. We're always here, both to me and to my to whoever I was channeling with. They repeated that again and again and again. And we're like, yeah, we get it. We know. But I don't think we really understood it. And still we're in process of understanding and realizing it, that, let's say it this way, they are aspects of ourselves. Let's take it to the highest level possible. Mm-hmm. They are aspects of ourselves. And as you would hope, all your aspects are with you at all time. Now you relate, you connect to different aspects and bring them to the surface as needed, right? So when you're giving a presentation, different aspects of you are going to come to the surface than when you're going to sleep. You're laying down to go to sleep. The different aspects of yourself are going to come up to the surface. So you can see those channeled guides as different aspects of yourself. Or if that's too big, your higher self that's opening to the channeling is an aspect of yourself. So that is always there with you, but how much it comes up to the surface, it depends on how relevant and needed it is. So when you're giving presentation, you don't want your sleepy, flowy state to come in. That's the last thing you want. But when you lay down to go to sleep, maybe that's exactly what you want, your sleepy, flowy state to come in so you can go to sleep. So the same thing, when you're engaging in activities that are relevant spiritually, and I'll let you decide what that is, spiritual information is more relevant, so therefore more present.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So the way I asked the question, are they always listening, almost implies an intrusiveness. Mm-hmm. However, what I just heard you say is that they are a version of us. And so it's mm-hmm. impossible for them not to hear.
They're always here. They're always with us. They listen when it's relevant.
Mm. So you, okay. So that's where I am open to fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That's you opening the door.
That's me opening not only the door, but to the door being directed in a verbal transmission. So I open my essence, my body is a big part of it. So I open my whole beingness to that essence to become one with me and express itself verbally. Or vocally, if we're talking about light language.
There's so many more questions I want to ask, but I guess I'm going to ask the main one is, because I want to dig deeper on a lot of those extra topics, but I guess now I'm feeling like is the time to ask you the question, is there a possibility to channel someone, something right now?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of my main source, my main guide is Hathor. You can ask her or them if you want who they are. I can give you a little brief description, but I can tell you that through me, she presents as a pathway of the divine feminine.
I would love to ask Hathor who Hathor is.
Yeah,
because I
okay.
was going to ask you, but that would be an amazing question.
Okay, so yeah, should we
and
start?
And so do I just speak to Hathor like anyone? Can I ask more than one question? How do I?
You can speak just like anyone, but just like with any conversation, one question at a time tends to be better and clearer. The more specific the question, the more specific the answer, because your perspective is so broad. Sometimes people, it's different if you're having conversation with your guides, But if I'm calling Hathor and you're asking, what message can you give me? It's very, very broad. It helps to be a little bit more specific than that.
Okay.
So they can focus their energy and direct their information to a more specific piece of knowledge.
And I guess my logical mind is also wondering what the etiquette is here. Like, how long do we go, just so I'm not overstepping boundaries?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can keep it to 10 to 20 minutes.
Okay. So
I have done much longer sessions. So it depends, but we can do 10 to 20 minutes. And yes, you can ask any question. It can be personal. It can be global. It can be them. They know how to handle themselves, often better than me.
Okay. Amazing. I'm ready for this.
All right. So I'm going to call Hathor. Now I also feel she's been so present. I feel Viola here as well. She's a fairy.
Okay.
Do you have a preference if you want me to insist on Hathor or Viola? Viola is so, I don't know what's going on.
So I have a strong urge to get an enhanced perspective on the elements, like light and earth and air and water, and how that is incorporated into the human in terms of like a technology, like how our body uses it. So that's like
interesting.
The urge that's in me to dive into. So I'm just sharing that with you. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to, Hathor is here too. So I'm going to call Hathor, but Hathor is the best conductor. So she's very good at bringing other energies into the transmission based on the question asked.
Okay.
So I'm going to call her. And like I said, they're already here. I feel them. So it's going to be just a second. Blessings.
Hi.
It is our pleasure to be in your presence at this current moment. As the channeler mentioned, we have access to a wide variety of sources, entities, and information. However, it is indeed Hathor here, as per your request.
Thank you, Hathor, for being here. The first question I would like to ask you humbly is for a brief introduction to yourself for those people that may be listening who have never heard of Hathor.
Yes. If you have never heard of Hathor, you are actually at a slight advantage here, as most people who are familiar with the name Hathor are familiar with the goddess in ancient Egypt named Hathor. Now, it is not that this goddess is separate from us or our essence. It is indeed the same entity you are and we are referring to. However, it is a very, very limited perspective. So, Hathor is more than one being. You may term us a collective. Again, this is a human term, but it is one that we are okay with. It is a collective that you may say originate in the Sirius star system. Now, there was a time where those beings and others walked on a physical planet. However, it is not those people that you are communicating with, but you, in, let's go to your linear understanding and imagine those people now ascending and growing up in the consciousness, in the development of the consciousness, becoming awareness of their whole as a society, and evolving from there. You may see that cluster as the origin of our collective. So it is still resonant with the Sirius star system frequency. However, it is not that we are locationally, geographically in or on Sirius. So we are a collective. We have been around in linear understanding for very, very long. We have been interacting with humanity for very, very long. And we hold the essence of the divine feminine and in its relation to humanity today, to your mother earth, and all aspects of the feminine within humanity.
You mentioned a two-star system, the Sirius star system. The beings that made up the collection of entities that makes up Hathor, did they have a different interaction with light than humans do with a, what I'm assuming is a singular star system?
We are not sure we understand the question. So do they have a different relationship with light in relation to the planet? We're not sure we're understanding the question. We will say that our vibration is much closer to the one of light, to the one of wave over humans. Does this take part in your question?
What I'm wondering is, and pardon me for the confusing question, what I'm wondering is, what is the importance of the sun on Earth in regards to human health?
Yes, we will say just as the universe has a point of projection, a point of creation, we will say that your sun is actually the portal to project your creation in a sense. So you have a very intimate relationship with your sun, as to some extent, by some understanding, it is your creator. We will not get involved with confusing terms and what God or creator means. And we're not saying it is, we're not using the word God intentionally. However, the sun is the portal through which life exists in this planetary system. So your relationship with the sun depends on your level of understanding and awareness. And from the sun's perspective, humanity as a whole are beloved children that are slowly growing and learning how themselves and their relationship with everything around them.
And how does the Earth interact with humans under the same question? Like, what does the Earth do in terms of a technology for the human being?
Yeah, so the human being is a part of the Earth system. You may say that we are the fleas on the dog that it is the Earth. So we are a part of that system. Whatever happens to the dog, whatever happens to the Earth, happens to the fleas, happens to the humans. So our interaction with the sun is a part of it, but the Earth itself, the energy, electrical mechanisms that are the driving force of the living Earth, humans are a part of it. They are impacted by it. They are impacting it. They are literally a part of that system.
What is the best way for somebody to connect or be more in harmony with Earth?
Yes, it is a very important topic, especially nowadays, as you are all called to awaken your subtle senses and open your awareness to true reality. A part of that reality is your oneness with this earth. And one way, one main way for a human to experience this oneness is to enjoy the nature around them. So depending on your locality and your environment, you may have different opportunities to connect to nature. So enjoying the sunrise and or the sunsets, enjoying plants and animals around you, just enjoying being on the ground as you can enjoy the beauty of the sky and all the plants. Becoming a part of that environment to the degree that's available and appropriate for you as a person is you becoming one with that system, acknowledging your oneness with that system, and opening your awareness so then more realization and more information to come through in modalities that are not easily perceptible by humans. What do we mean by that? Your bodies, your minds, and your spirits are in constant communication with your environment in ways that you cannot detect as of yet. However, your awareness of it is growing, and you, all of you, are going to become more and more aware of these different communication systems. A lot of them has to do with electricity and the frequencies running through your body. We don't know how much we should go into any specific direction, so we will stop here and hand the microphone back to you.
Thank you. You mentioned enjoying time in nature. What would you say to somebody who lives in a climate that is very cold or very rainy in terms of how to increase enjoyment? Because it seems to me that they have a limit of how long or how often they can go outside, and it's blocking their enjoyment. Is there any way to shed an additional perspective that could help somebody out in that environment?
Mm-hmm. There are two things that come up. One of them is connecting to your environment in a non-physical way. So instead of sitting in the snow and covering yourself with snow, you can just look out the window at snow, or knowing in your mind that snow is all around you outside of your apartment. And in your mind, whether looking at the snow or seeing it internally, then connect to the essence. And of course, the snow here is just one example. Connect to the essence of the snow, which is water. Connect to the essence of the sun. Maybe imagine yourself digging into the snow all the way to the ground and connecting to the earth in that way. So this one way that you can bypass the limitation of physicality is by bypassing the limitations of physicality and make the connection consciousness based. Now, when the physicality is important, we suggest making it appropriate to your environment. So if you can tolerate 5 minutes outside, be outside only 5 minutes. If you can have plants in your apartment, have plants in your apartment. If you go away a lot and you can have one orchid or one cactus, have this one orchid or one cactus, but have a relationship with that plant. So take whatever is available in your environment and make it appropriate for you.
That's amazing advice. In the English language, the etymology of the word spirit seems to me to come from the word breath. And the question I have is, Does spirit live in the breath, or is it something in the air?
Yes, so it is not unique to English. In many, many, many languages and traditions, the breath is connected to the actual energy of life. And as you know, spirit is life. So even when your physical body dies, your spirit goes on. So the true life is in the spirit. Now, when you talk about the breath, it is the spirit coming into physicality. So when the breath integrates with the physical, it's the spirit entering the physical. Does this make sense?
Yes. Is there other ways that the spirit enters the physical besides breath?
Well, in this understanding, we will say no, that if there is no breath, there is no spirit in the matter. However, breath, so photosynthesis is a form of breath. So any utilizing of the air, you may call it air, in that way is integrating spirit into the physical. It is not the only way, as the flow of fluids, which is the element of water, is just as essential. A plant or a human without fluids running through their body is not alive, just like if breath is not happening through the body. So breath, we would say, is the aspect of the spirit that's closest to non-physical while inhabiting the physical.
Thank you for that answer. In regards to water, which you mentioned fluids, there seems to be difficulty on making a decision for a lot of people on what is the best type of water or water source for us to drink. Do you have any suggestions on how one should make a decision on where to gather water?
We will say this, that the spirit and the vibration, the frequency you keep your body at, is more significant than your source of water. So although the source of water is significant, as you want to ease the physical system by providing it as clean as water as possible, it is important to remember that the source is secondary, even in terms of the significance of the water. Now, that having said, we will mention that your current filtration system is not ideal, and the water that is provided to the people is not ideal. Therefore, modifying the water that you intake from your faucets, from your system, is advisable. The waters that are coming through the system, unfortunately, is not clean water. Now, do you want to ask about specific sources or specific filtration systems?
Yes, please. Is there a specific type of water that works best with the individual nowadays?
We are trying to assess different modalities, and we will say that rainwater, although generally advisable, are also contaminated. So unless you want to provide us a specific source, we will just say that however you source your water, good filtration system is advised.
Is distilling water good for the human being if they drink it?
It is very good for the human being. However, it lacks certain elements within the water that the human needs. So supplementation then will be needed. But it is one of the better method to actually clean the water. So it is so clean that it lacks some of its natural element that would benefit the body.
And so adding minerals would do the trick?
Absolutely, adding minerals. And we will say now that we're seeing black material, the channeler is providing the word carbon. They will say that carbon and charcoal and these types of materials also are good for the water. However, you have to be careful in how much of them is the water is actually exposed to. However, those are good in not only filtering the water, but also giving some of the nutrition. And yes, minerals are extremely significant.
And for those that drink spring water, are there anything to be aware of in terms of drinking spring water?
We do recommend clearing the water, and we do recommend using your intention doing so. So if you have any, we will call it device. However, we will say that the device is not electronic. You do not plug it in. Any device with crystals, with intention that then adds to charging the water would be extremely beneficial.
Could you
so
give an
not only clearing the water, but also charging them. Go ahead.
Could you give an example of a practice of how one would charge the water, including what type of crystals that they would use?
We're showing actually such device to the channeler. She is not familiar with it. It is round. You asked what crystal. So we will say that crushed quartz is very beneficial. We will mention that it does not touch the water. It is the device. The water is in a glass bottle that is then, or a glass that is then put on the device. The device is round. It has black stones all around it and crushed quartz at the base. And there are different crystals that you can add to it. So it is up to you. However, the black, as we mentioned, carbon, charcoal, shungite around, and the crushed quartz at the base is a very, very good starting point.
And this device can be found in the United States?
We are uncertain of that. We had the intention of people creating this device. We realized that it may be more difficult for most humans than we first assumed. Let us see. We currently cannot. So we will say there are different variations. There are many, many, many people that have come up with different variations. What is more common is selenite wrapped with copper. We see that. That is one option. As we mentioned, the ritual of you cleansing and energizing the water is extremely significant here. So the device is lesser so. So the device that we specifically described, we do not actually see available for purchase, but we do see different variances on it, which would be acceptable.
Thank you. The last topic that I'm interested in is on the subject of fascia and how the body transmits light or photon energy through the body. Is there a correlation or connection to the meridians of the body and the fascia that is making up the body structure?
Yes, absolutely. The meridians are the pathway that this energy flows. It's the same energy as electricity. It's the same energy as emitting photons. So the clearer and more open your meridians are, and these can be modified just like a dial if you have that awareness. So the more open they are, the more flow of this electricity, the more photons will be emitted. And this control of energy output is what can then be, for example, transmitted in energy healing, or even so on a smaller scale, on a more basic scale, having those meridians flowing and emitting a constant level of photons increase the vitality of the physical body, your own physical system. When you take it a step further and learn how to open it further, you can start exchanging with others in a way that is very healing for others. But even your own wellness contributes to the wellness of others. Does that answer your question, or were you looking for a more specific connection?
It did answer my question. I would like a follow-up question, though, on if there, just like you gave me with the water, is there a practice or something that people could do to help open the awareness to the meridians in the body?
Yes, we will say here, connecting to the earth is a big part of it. As we mentioned before, your own electrical system is very tied to the earth electrical system. It is an extension of the earth electrical system. So when a body needs more electricity, if we can put it that way, connecting to the earth is very beneficial. Now, as we mentioned, connecting to the earth does not necessitate you going outside and planting your feet on the ground, as it may not be viable for certain people living in certain environments, certain climates. So then you can connect to the earth with your mind, with your beingness, rather than physically. And that to some extent serves the same purpose. But yes, connecting to the energy of the earth, running electricity from your body through your feet into the earth and back will train you to notice this electricity, to notice this energy, and to be more aware of its flow and pathways. And in addition, it will increase your electrical charge. So it's easier to notice it when it's increased. And we will just mention, of course, it's quieting your mind, and being open and receptive is always the first step in opening your perception.
For clarity purposes, when you say running electricity through the body into the earth and then back into the body, are you suggesting that we use our imagination for that?
Yes, we do. We claim that there is no difference between imagination and reality. And let us explain what that means. So you standing on the ground with the intention to connect to the earth energy and feel the electricity in that way, versus you standing in your apartment with the same intention, can yield the same result depending on your level of focus and your the level of frequency you are able to maneuver within your physical system, which improves with practice.
This has been amazingly insightful, Hathor. I do not have any further questions. So unless there's something else you would like to add to this bundle of information, I don't have any more questions.
We feel that we have given you a lot of information already, as you asked wonderful questions about a variety of topics. So we will end it here. expressing, as always, our love and appreciation for your willingness to show up and for showing up as you do.
Thank you for sharing.
We will now bring you Yafi back. Oh no. That's why I couldn't find my water. I was just telling you how that can happen.
Yes, that was amazing. That was really, really cool. And that's the only word I can think of right now.
Thank you. At what point did I turn?
Right in the very beginning. And I didn't want to, I was going to say, could you ask the channeler to turn back facing the camera? But I didn't know if that was going to interrupt anything. So do you have any takeaways from that you'd like to say? I do have one more topic I'd like to get into.
Go ahead. Sometimes also, okay, so I am present when I channel, but I do kind of go to the background. So when I first come back, I can remember very little of what we spoke about. It's almost like I have little icebergs, the tip of the icebergs, but not the full iceberg. So if you ask questions about answers that were given, not only it triggers my memory, sometimes it gives more information that did not make it to come through in the channeling. Go ahead, ask whatever questions.
Yeah, for sake of not repeating on this recording, I think that we're all clear on what Hathor just said. So that was amazing. Thank you for offering that.
My pleasure.
The next question, which you mentioned, was the Monroe Institute. Because what I like about the Monroe Institute is that it's more solid than just somebody like yourself who's channeling, because the Monroe Institute it shows up in CIA documents. It shows up with people saying that they are part of the CIA using astral projection as an actual tool for the military. And what's your relationship to the Monroe Institute? Because I feel like were you going to one, or did you host one?
I've been going as a participant to the Monroe Institute for, as I mentioned, I think 11 and a half years now. So I've done many, many, many programs there. And after the first program, I knew that it had to be a part of my life and a part of my career. Back then I was doing my doctorate in clinical psychology. And so I immediately felt the resonance, and I felt like that need to be a part of my life. So as soon as I came back from the first program, the Gateway program, I opened a local Monroe community group. It used to be called something else. Now they're a Monroe community group. And so I've had my community group for many years now, and I was holding meetings monthly. So a little bit of both.
There we go. Yeah. So if anybody's listening to this and they need a more institutionalized perspective on this, you can look into the Monroe Institute and also attend. Is the one that you started hosting, is that still going in Florida?
Since I moved, I'm having a hard time getting people in person. I may start a Zoom one. So if there is enough interest, let me say it this way. If people want to have a Zoom meeting, Monroe Zoom meeting, they should contact me. If I have enough people, I will do it. The problem is that I was always doing it in person, and I like doing it in person. And I moved 7.5 months ago when it has not happened in person in the new location yet.
Okay. And so you do Zoom channelings, right?
That's right. So everything is on Zoom. So Every Sunday, I channel on Zoom. And to sign up, you just have to PayPal or Zelle me the money and give me your email address so I can send you the Zoom link. And that's every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. My light language classes are also on Zoom. And that's every other week, either Thursdays or Wednesdays, depending on the cycle. So I offer most of my offerings on Zoom, with some exceptions. I do some stuff in person. And again, I'm in Florida, so there's also different things that I do in person.
Amazing. So there's lots of different options for everybody. We have the book, we have our weekly Zoom meetings. You do also courses, like you were saying, with the light language. I don't remember if courses was the right term for that, but programs for several weeks. And then you have, do you have Instagram, Facebook, YouTube? What are the offerings there?
I am on Facebook. It's just my name, Yaffe Yair. No, it's Dr. Yaffe Yair on Facebook. YouTube is just my name, Yaffe Yair, and my website, which of course you can get access to everything through my website, is yaffechanneling.com.
Well, I had an amazing time speaking with you, Dr.
Yaffe. Me too. I'll come back anytime.
Yeah, and definitely interested in the next. I love books. That's how I receive a lot of my information, above podcasts, blog posts, even Zoom meetings or events. For me, it's books. And I purchased and met you in person, and definitely looking forward to what you have in the future in the realm of books for me personally. But
yeah, I'm on chapter 3 in on the second book.
Amazing. Well, everybody check out Dr. Yaffe on your preferred method of receiving information. And thank you all for being here.
Thank you. Bye-bye.